Are we gonna harmonize?
If you want.
Yeah, I was about to say. Do you need us to do a check, like a?
I need you to write me a check.
I need to write you a check. You need us to do an audio sync or anything?
No, no, no.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody, or evening, or morning, or, I don't know, the middle of the night, if you're really, you know, the kind of person who just needs this kind of hot, spicy takes in the middle of the night.
Which is concerning.
That's how I get my jimmies.
That's that would be awesome. If you're that person, you rock. If you're anyone else, you also rock. Thank you for coming to the campsite today. We are the Wolverine Patrol. As always, my name is Tim. I'm here with my co-hosts, Jack and John. We got Ron over here on the ones and twos doing our production. And we have a guest in the campsite today.
Hello.
Ooh, our first in-person guest. How exciting is this?
Yes, I'm very excited.
They are a horror writer slash very, very awesome person. they've been my partner for 7 years. And we got kind of into this particular topic together and have been talking about it a lot. So, please welcome Liz to the program.
Hi.
Hey, woo.
Hi. Woo. Yeah.
So today's topic is one that we have been wanting to do for weeks, and it's actually kind of been, as Liz pointed out earlier, been very convenient that it's taken this long for us to get this done, because so much has happened just in the last couple weeks with it. We want to talk today about conspiracy theories in particular. The most recent conspiracy theory that's been taking America by storm, QAnon. So I want to start out by going around here, and I want your guys' your general takes on, what conspiracy theories mean in the American lexicon, but also, I want to throw a few classics by you. I feel like we need to see how conspiracy theories have evolved, and I want to throw some classics by you and really get your take on, do you think they're true? Do you think there's elements of truth to them? Or do you think they're completely bunk, but, they make sense, for the time they were happening? So, first of all, what are your guys' takes on conspiracy theories generally? What do they mean? What have they meant to America? I guess we can start with Liz. We can start with our guests.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. What I would like to point out most about conspiracy theories, at least what I take away from them, is they are so close to approaching the truth.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, with QAnon, yeah, do I think there are, higher-ups in this country that have, a lot of power? Yeah, obviously. That's correct. But, I don't know. It's they're so close to almost getting there. But at the end, they just kind of fork off, and it's no. Yeah. Trump is not an agent for the deep state.
Yeah, they make, a weird left turn.
Also, QAnon. In particular, QAnon. I'm of course Trump's going to play into that. Why wouldn't he? That is the coolest thing. It's you think I'm an agent for, the deep state? Of course he's going to think that's so cool.
Yeah, he's secret agent, man. He's James Bond and John Wayne all rolled into one. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, John, what's your... I think you've had some really interesting takes on all of this. So I'm interested in what your perspective is on conspiracy theories.
Yeah, so I think... Right before we started recording, we were kind of chatting about how, with the whole pedophilia thing that you're seeing a lot lately, I don't know.
Save the children.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Save the children.
We gotta save the children.
It's just
folks.
Okay, where is it? You guys are pulling this out all of a sudden, and it's.
Yeah, it seems mighty convenient. Save the children never means healthcare or education reform or doing something about the impending climate disaster. It's always some bullshit moral panic, right? And that's, I think that is particularly stark and particularly absurd in the case of QAnon and Donald Trump, where I guess I'm gonna have to say Trump is allegedly a pedophile, but he is about the farthest thing from allegedly that somebody can legally be called allegedly. there are many instances of people saying that he has raped children, he has sexually assaulted people who are underage, and of age, obviously. And the idea that this, it really is we have a murder problem and we need to count on Charles Manson to fix it. It really is that level of absurdity, so... Jack, I know you've had several points on this as well.
Well, I think it's interesting to point out that, even as far back as the very foundations of capitalism back in, the 15th and 16th centuries, witches were accused of corrupting children, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Witches were accused of snatching children. And that was really, infanticide was what they usually were convicted of, right? Because witchcraft was more difficult to prove, but infanticide, infants died all the time. And so if there was a dead infant, the witch could then be said, well, she caused it, right?
Yeah, like, oh, well, she looked at this baby and now it's dead.
Right.
So...
So conspiracy theories related to the deaths of children are particularly heinous when you have an economic structure that requires the reproduction of the working class for its maintenance and for its continuation, right?
Sure.
And so...
Sounds like Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man,
the Snowpiercer episode's going to be 3 fucking hours long.
I personally won't shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we totally interrupted. Apologies.
But then, like, if you fast forward to, like, the end of the 19th century leading up to World War I, you had capitalism in its more industrial form where all of these different nations were developing these really intense national identities that were all focused around being stronger and better and more imperial than the other nations in Europe, right? And so what you saw in Germany was that as the people who lost World War I, their national identity that was built around them being the strongest and built around them being God's chosen people, the defeat in World War I shattered that. And instead of the cultural direction turning and saying, no, we're actually not God's chosen people, no, actually we're not the greatest country, that's not possible. So instead, we have to look for a knife in the back. And that's what the Germans called it back during the 20s and 30s. They literally called it the knife in the back, and it was code for the Jews stabbed our undefeatable army in the back. That's the only way that we possibly could have lost.
Right.
And I think that you see a lot of that in present day America coming off the heels of having lost several imperial wars.
Absolutely. And I think that my point to that is absolutely a synthesis of what all of you said. I think all of those really excellent points. And the overarching thing here is what conspiracy theories in the entire history of society, specifically like in capitalist society, have been is like, we can't acknowledge fully the material conditions of what we're dealing with, who caused these things, who, what the reasons for them are, and like why we got fucked over. And the reasons for that, you know, I guess is what Zizek would call like ideology, you know, just like you have things you're raised to believe inherently. It's a very complicated concept, but that's basically what it is.
I was about to say, my take on conspiracy theories in general, I guess, is more or less that it's, I think it really comes down to this psychological idea of like, well, somebody has to be in control.
Right.
There has to be some big, because if you face that reality of the fact that we're all pretty much just like meat sacks floating through space and like nobody really knows anything and we're all still kids, it's whatever, that's pretty terrifying. So everybody has to have some kind of daddy.
Absolutely.
Always. And it's always this weird thing of like, it's so hard for them. They can believe that the government did 9/11, which, no, but they took advantage of 9/11.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the core thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's an excellent point and into my next like kind of go around here. But that's exactly it. At the end of the day, we are raised to believe that like our way of life, and in the case of the last several centuries, like capitalism, is an inherent good and something that really can't be questioned. Is like the right way to organize a society and an economy. So what conspiracy theories always serve to basically do is explain away the issues of capitalism in a way that does not indict capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to add real quick to something that Jack said. It's interesting that you brought up like the Nazis and stuff like that, because they were like very much based around like the occult, and like they were Odinist, you know, so to speak. And there's a lot of like weird occult shit like in the QAnon stuff. Like, I mean, like, like having to believe that there are like this group of like devil worshipping like cabals that traffic children, you know.
Right. They definitely, it's very funny because the occult can really end up on both sides of this equation.
Yeah.
Either, or sometimes simultaneously, where like the ruling class or like the people who are actually like perpetuating this conspiracy theory and like, you know, enveloped in it, they frequently get into the occult for like lots of weird deviant reasons.
Mm, yeah.
And then But then it's very funny because you talk about masters like being projectionists. They turn around and use that same kind of weird occult shit to be like, everybody we don't like is an evil witch that's going to kill you with their satanic rituals or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
For sure. You see this like really strange, unholy union of the occult with modern day like Pentecostal or evangelical Christianity, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh,
that kind of like for, you know, like.
I watched this movie last night. I'll let you finish your thing, but mm-hmm. I'm very relevant to that.
Right. No, but you do see this kind of feverish, like, you know, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's culty. Very culty. I mean, like, obviously, like, a lot of people who talk about QAnon are being a part of QAnon are like, yeah, I felt like I was like really brought into the fold and like, this is my community now. Yeah. And like, you know, I think like once you're brought that far in, it's pretty hard to have any other outside influence say, hey, you're acting fucking crazy. Like, come back, you know, like, cause like you're deep at that. You're in deep. It's a fucking.
It's the same way people get into gangs or anything else.
And there's a point to that. There's a book I read not too long ago called The Lucifer Principle, which I can't recommend enough.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's basically just, it makes a few points, but one of the big ones is when we talk about humans being social creatures, like it almost gets down to biology too. Like the argument it tries to make is that human evolution favored survival in social groups as opposed to like individualism
survival. Yeah.
So yeah, things like that. Everybody just needs friends. High school never ends. Everybody still needs like friends.
We all just
want to
sit at the lunch table, right?
Yeah. John, what was your point about that film?
Remember what it's called. I just literally watched it last night. I'm sure
one that's movie. A lie. That's
while
a
while you're looking it up. Quick question: can I name this episode Avenue Q?
Yes.
Please. Definitely.
Live on Avenue Q.
Do you have it up, John?
I can't find it. And it should be in my watch history for Netflix. It's not because it's just last night. But anyway, it's has Alexandra Daddario in it. And that's the only actress or actor in it that I recognize. But these girls go on this like road trip to go see a concert, and just like it's supposed to be like in the late 80s or early 90s, and they're like, oh yeah, we're you know, you just think they're just a bunch of young girls go and see like a heavy metal concert. They hook up with some guys, bring them back to her, Alexandria Daddario is the main character, they bring her back to her dad's house, like that happens to be close by, and then they start like knocking the guys out, and apparently they're going to do some sort of ritual on them. And you think it's like supposed to be like a cult or Satanistic or whatever, but then it turns out that this evangelical preacher that they keep seeing in these news in the gas stations and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's her dad, and he is the wrath of God, and and they punish these kind of people.
No, oh, is it called shit. We Summon the Darkness?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think I meant to see that, but
I never did.
That sounds awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Talking about it in retrospect seems a lot cooler than the movie actually is, just because of the way it was executed
and
cheesiness and everything like that.
Sure.
But I thought that went really well with your point about
right.
that, where
mm-hmm.
These people, and you see that in Red State too.
I've been meaning to watch Red State.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Where these people who think that they are like the utmost center pillar of Christianity and upholding the values of God and the Bible, are these people that are committing some of the most heinous atrocities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're complete hypocrites, of course.
Yeah.
And it just really ties in well to, I mean, obviously it's exaggerated in these two films, but
sure.
A really good commentary on what you guys were just saying about Pentecostal and evangelicals.
Yeah, conservatism is just a fucking death cult, is it not?
It really is. I mean, it favors reaction, like even in the times where reaction can be very dangerous and bad. So to that point, I kind of want to go, I really just have two I want you guys to kind of give me your takes on, as far as like, do they approach any level of truth, or like, what do they mean? The JFK assassination and 9/11, and whether or not the government planned it. I think this would be, we're about 15 minutes in here, so I think this is a perfect time to like rehash some classic ones and then jump into Q. So what are your, I personally don't know about Kennedy. I really don't. I don't necessarily believe the government had a particularly good reason. He wasn't, like, so liberal or progressive, and he was, like, a rich kid from... Like, I don't know how much of a threat to the status quo he really would have been. The mob maybe killed him, I don't know. Or maybe Oswald was just a goon who was working by himself. As far as 9/11, I've never really believed that, like, the government planned it. But I think probably a bunch of capitalists sat in a room and went, look, given all the shit we've done in the Middle East, we are going to get attacked at some point. And when that happens, we need to be ready to take advantage of it.
They had an intelligence report shortly before 9/11.
Yeah.
That there was a major attack that was possibly being planned by and they, again, this gets back into the whole taking advantage of it thing.
Yeah.
Did they know? Did they do it? No. But were they aware of it and kind of just like let it slide so that they could take advantage of it and get in the Middle East? More than likely.
Yeah.
So, Liz, what are your takes on those two theories?
On JFK and...
Yeah, 9/11.
Oh, God. JFK, I don't... You know, like, yeah. Exactly. I mean, like, that's a complicated one.
Right.
I think his head just did that personally. I like to think that that's the theory I like to stick with.
Yeah,
just
left out one character from The Boys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And whereas, like, yeah, 9/11, I feel like I pretty much share your views, where it's like, yeah, they probably knew something was going to happen, or at the very least, they knew the climate was leading to something that would possibly happen, and they just kind of looked the other way.
Sure.
So.
John?
Yeah, with JFK, and I just recently listened to another podcast called Very Presidential, and the host does these little kind of like biopic bits about the most controversial presidents in history. And the first episode they did was on JFK and how he was, I forget what the disease was that he had, but he was like in so much pain all the time that his doctor basically was just giving him amphetamines.
Allegedly syphilis, or am I remembering that
wrong? He may have had that too, but actually had like some kind of a genetic condition that like made his muscular skeletal shit like
Okay.
So he was just like constantly in pain and
nonstop.
So some of the decisions he made, because he was completely amped up out of his mind, and you know, he went and he was gonna not Gorbachev.
Khrushchev,
yeah. He had a meeting with him, and, you know, they were ready to, like, you know, jump the gun and sign the papers and make everything peaceful with the Soviet Union, and he just went in, like, a last minute, just fucked that shit up, and then basically caused all these issues with the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that kind of shit, and, like, he basically bitched out to the Soviet Union during those crises, and, I think last minute, like, they were like, okay, listen, we're going to go ahead and just sign this peace treaty. We're going to back off, and you guys are going to remove your missile silos in Turkey, and we'll remove them in,
Cuba, yeah.
Yeah, but we're just going to make it look like you guys backed out first for my good standing.
Sure.
And so I think if there was any kind of motivation, because, with the government to do something at that point, I would say it would probably come from that.
Sure. Absolutely. Do you share our view on 9/11 more or less?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I really don't think they were just like, hey, let's just go ahead and crash a plane into the tower so we can just go jump into the Middle East. But, they sure as hell did take advantage of that.
Sure. Jack?
I think that when you're talking about JFK or 9/11, it's really important to realize that the CIA is not a direct arm of a taxpayer-elected government. The CIA basically operates as a private army for capital. They're the ones that will make people disappear who are really threats to the status quo, and they do it at home and abroad, and they're very open about the fact that they do it.
Yeah.
So I've heard plenty of like kind of like what John said, like justifications for why JFK may have been assassinated. And I don't think that it's too far outside the realm of possibility that during the 1960s, when the CIA was openly assassinating political leaders all over the world, that they would have, if he presented some sort of threat to the machinations of capital, whether it was the plans for the Vietnam War or whether it was moving the federal, messing with the Federal Reserve or trying to move us back to some form of the gold standard, something like that, that would have actually challenged capital, I absolutely think that they would have sent some CIA goons to just blow him away. And in a similar vein, I think that when you look at 9/11, there were definitely parts of that story that suggest that there were people within the United States government who were either looking the other way or at times actively aiding the people who who actually carried out the attacks. And that is public knowledge. I mean, that's that's in, like, the 9/11 report and everything. Like, there were moles within the United States government that helped this plot along. And I think that if the CIA had any intentional, direct knowledge of it, that they probably were maybe providing plane tickets or making sure that these people didn't get picked up at customs and things like that.
Sure.
You know? But I think that the whole 9/11 conspiracy theory, the really terrifying thing about 9/11 was the fact that it was just 11 people or like 15 people or however many. Yeah. You know, it was not some army that invaded the United States. We did not come under attack from, you know, a million person wave, you know, the way that we all think that that warfare would be carried out against us, right? Where we'd all pick up our rifles and go and defend America. The really terrifying thing about 9/11 is that a small group of motivated actors who can practice decent operational security, not really good, because obviously we knew that something was up.
Right.
But decent enough operational security to pull off something like that, that they can.
Yeah.
And, like, to add to that, these people, like, they're not, like, the most educated, you know? Like, they're rural, like, you know. Yeah, and you're right. Like, they got through our security pretty fucking easily. So, like, you know, yeah, all these people who are like, oh, well, we need to, like, keep our arms for, like, you know, a terrorist attack. It's like, yeah, but they came from the fucking sky. So what are you going to do then? Like,
and it is easier for people and more comfortable for people to believe that it was all set up by this deep state or by the United States government, that it was all planned out. Mm-hmm. And that there was the really terrifying thing is, no, it wasn't all planned out. This was just a handful of really psycho people who wanted to blow shit up, and they can,
because they did.
Our security is not as tight as the government would like for you to believe that.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think that is a perfect segue into today's topic.
The real conspiracy. The Stevie real Wonder one. Is not blind.
He's faking it.
That would actually be an awesome QAnon conspiracy.
But that's like a like people legitimately believe that.
Oh, oh really?
That's a real thing.
Holy
yes.
shit.
Have fun tonight on Google.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up for sure.
I was about to say, that is the kind of like psychic, like you hit some psychedelics or something, and you just need like something to focus on.
Elvis is still alive long after he would have been dead anyway.
Also, Elvis wasn't really blind either.
No.
What? Shut the fuck up. No.
He was after his heart attack.
Oh God. Oh, man. Oh fuck.
Dark.
Oh man.
So now we're gonna get into the nitty gritty. The
real boy.
Yeah.
QAnon. I think QAnon is very unique in that, like, it is more pervasive in the mainstream than any conspiracy theory. I can think, certainly in my lifetime, but definitely in a long time. This is probably the most pervasive any conspiracy theory has been in mainstream culture in American history, I would say.
That and, like, 9/11, I would say.
Mm-hmm. But even, like, 9/11, like, people weren't on TV every day talking about loose change.
You're right.
Like, you know, that was not, like, a thing. That was, like, early internet conspiracy.
You're right.
Which
QAnon is particularly pervasive.
It is, and it's certainly because of, like, who's in the White House and kind of how the far right. So, for those of you who don't actually know, and you've been listening to this episode for 23 and a half minutes now, and you're like, what the shit is QAnon? I'm going to read the first, just because I don't like reading articles. I think we figured out in episode one I don't do it well. But I am going to read a single paragraph and hope I don't fuck it up. So QAnon is a far-right conspiracy theory alleging that a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles running a global child sex trafficking ring is plotting against President Donald Trump, who is battling them, leading to a day of reckoning involving mass arrest of journalists and politicians. And I'm really glad that they cleared up at the end. No part of the theory is based in fact.
Can I just say, when you said, like, oh, he's battling them, I'm just picturing him as fucking Gandalf fighting the Balrog, just like, you shall not pass! like a bunch
you're
of,
not
like,
getting over here, honey!
No!
Bye,
Balrog!
The Balrog was very unfair to me. But here's what's funny, and I think that last paragraph, or that last sentence in that paragraph is very interesting to me, because I think, as we've discussed today, no part of this theory is based in fact.
Listen, the theory itself is not, like, certainly, like, things about the actual QAnon theory are based in fact. Or not based in fact, rather. But, like, we can't sit here and act like Jeffrey Epstein didn't happen earlier this year. I think it leads to Liz's point really well of, like, or the point I think all of you made is, like, you get so close and then you just can't, like, shake off your ideology enough. And you have to do this hard right turn at the end and believe something absolutely insane so that your worldview remains unchallenged.
You got came so close and got so far, but in the end,
it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, like there is a shady cabal of fucking elites who run the world, and their names are published by Forbes every fucking year.
Yeah, this isn't like a big, like, that's the other thing too. I would like to say about like QAnon, they're like, oh, there's like little secrets like left behind. I'm like, if there was an actual secret society, do you think they would purposely leave behind little clues that were easy enough for the common person to figure out? Yeah. No!
Like, yeah, why would you, if you're trying to secretly run the world, why would you be dropping clues on CNN and Fox News?
Yeah, it's like fucking national treasure.
Yeah, like...
I guess, in their defense, like, their little clues come from Q, who's, like, allegedly an insider. So that's why they, like, are like, well, Q said it.
Yeah.
So...
That's true. But, like, yeah, and I guess but again, it's still the idea that, like, Q can tell you what they're putting on TV. Why would they put it on TV in the first place?
Right.
That's the question. And
well,
I think.
Yeah, it goes back to, like, the whole, like, Illuminati thing where it's like, oh, well, Beyonce did, like, the little triangle thing. Like, why the hell, if she was actually in a secret society, she would not, like,
tell everybody.
Yeah, she would be like, woo, very obvious triangle.
Well, no, there's like, great. I mean, Jay-Z literally, after, like, everybody said he was in the Illuminati, now has songs where he just goes, yeah, fuck it, I'm in the Illuminati.
Yeah, because it's cool.
Yeah, you just embrace it. All you're doing.
I'm part of a cool old secret society alchemist.
Yeah. Well, you guys are telling me that I'm like this like big powerful guy? Sure.
Sure.
Boom. And what do you know? That just once again laterally connected back to the idea that like it's so funny to me that liberals just still don't understand like the psyche of Donald Trump. And they're like, why won't he come out and condemn this?
Because
like,
he's
the biggest egomaniac in the world, and it makes him sound so cool.
Yeah. It makes him Superman.
Yeah. It makes him Superman meets John Wayne meets James Bond. But what's like, I think that leads to my point that's very interesting. The really interesting part of this to me is not just that like people could believe this, and that they could believe that like one man is like the answer to this, that's like just a far right asshole. But the fact that it's Donald Trump, who, again, as we've discussed, like, you have to call him an alleged child molester legally, but it is about the loosest application of alleged I can imagine. So I guess, like, why Trump? I guess it's because he's the guy in the White House right now.
So I can tell you why. And okay. It's because the way that the QAnon thing is structured, right? Q posts these Q drops on 4chan and 8chan, that are so cryptic that they could literally mean anything.
Kind of the way like psychics work.
Right, yeah, it is. It's sort of like the like a soft read or a cold read that a psychic does.
Yeah.
You know? So something like that, sure. But over the internet, right? And so the people who hang out on 4chan and 8chan are overwhelmingly Trump supporters because 4chan and 8chan are the fucking armpit of the internet where just the most cesspool people hang out and post racist shit and laugh about it, right?
Yeah.
And so since you already had this online forum of Trump supporters where this Q phenomenon started up, they all, because the people who are trying to decipher the Q drops are inflecting their own personal biases on the answers that they get. And so therefore their answers came to their own implicit bias, which was present before the first Q drop, which was Donald Trump's a superhero.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's what I figured. I mean, like, I was wondering if there is something more to it than just, like, yeah, he makes me feel good about my racism, and I'm just going to apply that implicit bias wherever I can. But I guess that really is the crux of what conspiracy theories are. They are grappling with the material world you live in versus what you've been told your whole life versus what implicit biases you have.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, I think it's funny because, like, QAnon is basically just vague booking. He's like, oh, this may or may not be about this person. And then everybody else is just like, it's about that person, isn't it? Yeah. It's like the equivalent of vague booking.
Yeah, it's literally like a 16-year-old being like, wow, it's crazy that I never get invited to functions at certain people's houses. And you're just like...
But everybody else does. Yeah.
I'm just saying, you might want to look on Bethany's dad's island.
Yeah, dude. So there are, I think, I don't know if I even like fully understand all the different things that they believe. If anybody wants to like jump in here and say like the craziest thing you've heard, that's like, because I definitely think, again, like so many conspiracy communities, there are the hardcore people who believe every single thing that's posted. There are the people who are a little bit more nuanced and a little bit more cynical. Like, I think they realize this is all politically motivated. But I think for me, the moment I really was like, oh, what is this? Is like, when they started saying JFK Jr. still alive and changed his face like a Bond villain. And that magazine, that like stupid like political gentleman's magazine that JFK Jr. did before he died called George, was actually him trying to warn everybody that George H.W. Bush had killed his dad.
I'm sorry, that just puts it in my mind. No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
No, Mr. Bond. I chose to kill you with this laser not because it is easy, but because I am evil. We're going to rob Fort Knox, sir. You are the president of the United States. You can literally walk into Fort Knox.
Well, like, you know, not to be... Like, it kind of brings it back to around the capital thing, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Goldfinger and, like, the plot of Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Like, the
I
fact that...
I love gold!
Like, yeah. Like, he's not going to, like, steal the gold. He's just going to make it all useless.
Yeah, so that his gold becomes more valuable.
Like,
honestly, most believable Bond villain in history.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been keeping the keys the whole time. Does anybody remember that gold member?
Yeah.
Austin
My
Powers?
My Pinky was the keys the whole time. Yes, Ron, we all remember Beyonce's best acting performance.
It really was.
That's not saying much. She's a terrible
actress.
Austin
Powers still, I think it was the first one, has that great little bit that I just recently remembered where they unfreeze him. They're like, a lot's changed since you left, Austin. Like, the Cold War's over. And he's like, oh, it looks like those capitalist pigs are going to pay for their war crimes, eh, comrades? And they're like, no, we won. And he's like,
Oh great!
Capitalism!
Yay, capitalism!
You know, I've always said that I'm proud to be a member of Ohio's number one Austin Powers podcast. But what are your guys? Is like, what's like the thing that like was the first thing that like really made you crane your neck and like figure out what Q was that made you go, huh? Do you guys remember? Or were there things that you were like that?
Honestly,
rocks?
Okay. So the first thing that really made me crane my neck was the second to last sentence of what you read, which was that there is going to be a mass day of reckoning where there will be the arrests of prominent politicians and journalists, which is something that very well may fucking happen under the fascist government, especially if Trump is reelected.
Yeah.
I absolutely think that there could be mass arrests, that there could be loyalists to Trump who would carry out judicial or extrajudicial
purges of people
that they don't like, right? And I think that QAnon is doing an excellent job of setting something like that up or building public support for mass arrests like that.
Yeah.
And that made me go, whoa, what?
Like, right. Well, that would also explain why people like Trump and people in his administration just don't talk about it that much. Why would, I mean, even just outside of like, you know, making him seem like a Bond, you know, James Bond, why would they want to quell support for mass arrests of their political enemies?
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
But then I read more into it and I found out that there's like a segment of QAnon that believes that Barron Trump is a time traveling crime fighter.
Hell
yes. That's awesome.
That just makes me think, because I watched Idiocracy last night about the time machine ride.
Yeah.
Like somebody told Barron Trump there was a time machine. It's just Charlie Chaplin as Hitler. That's very funny. Yeah. Oh man, I kind of wish that was true. Like, that's the first part of this I've ever been like, that would actually be awesome.
Be dope. Like, yeah, they're like, Barron Trump wasn't actually born, he just showed up one day. Like, because Melania
just, like,
clearly
number five
has never
from
had a
Umbrella
child
Academy.
And yeah, and they inflect this like weird like goddess worship of Melania too. They're like, she's such a perfect like woman. She's clearly never had a child. Well, you know, that dirty act of procreating. Baron Trump clearly came from the future. Like,
oh yeah, it's basically like the virgin birth thing. Yeah. It's like, oh no, she's untainted by sin.
By this, the sin, yes. Exactly. Yeah,
you just like appeared outside of her.
Yeah,
she's right. Never had sex either.
Right. You know, because when has any you know, famous or rich woman or man, for that matter, ever just like kept their body looking really good through everything because they have the money to do it.
Right.
Weird.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. How does that ever happen?
It's almost like she came from insane privilege or something.
Yeah, dude.
Also, like, I think like the worship of Melania also comes from like her like strong like Aryan features. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, God, and her being like, where's she from again? I forget.
She's from somewhere in the Eastern European. Slovenia or something.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, like, I think, like, a lot of, like, the reason for that worship is because of her traditional Western beauty, you know?
Yeah, so. Definitely.
But she's from Eastern Europe, which is great, because most of that has five teeth per square mile.
Dude, it's really not cool of you to say such mean and true things about my ancestral people.
I don't know why Eastern Europe is so hilarious.
Because we're all fat, yeah. And yell, dude. It's literally the same comedy. Yeah. We are literally all Fred Flintstone. That's why it's funny. We're all fucking Archie Slovenia. Bunker. It was Slovenia?
Slovenia.
Oh, no. That rocks that her and Slavoj Zizek are from the same place. Oh, my God. Look so different.
Yeah.
Like,
well, new conspiracy time, they're the same person.
Yeah.
They're the same person.
I think if you notice, correct me if I'm wrong. I could be 100% wrong on this, but it feels like the majority of the Q shit falls under boomers.
Yeah.
That's what you kind of see. And I think this ties back to what I was saying before, the psychological element of it, somebody has to be in charge, yada, yada, yada. But I think also there's this weird cultural thing of like, I think, don't get me wrong, young people can get into conspiracies too.
Sure.
But you see it with them because I think we were raised in an era, if your parents told you some bullshit, you could literally pull the computer out of your pocket and Google it.
I was literally saying that to Tim the other day. I'm like, this is the perfect like example of freedom.eaglenet. Yeah. Like, this is the logical conclusion of boomers not checking their sources.
Yeah.
Something that we were taught in high school, but they were not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think it's called media literacy or something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's that they were not taught to check their sources, right? Because they were, but they were taught to check their sources in print books.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Not digital media.
Not digital media. And they were taught with the advent of TV, like our grandparents' generation, that true information, quote unquote, comes out of a screen, comes out of a backlit screen. And so they've been conditioned their entire lives that they get the truest, most, you know, distilled, unaltered or unbiased information from the TV.
The machine.
From Walter Cronkite.
And so now we all have a little tiny TV in our pockets. And so whatever comes off of this backlit screen must be true.
But it's funny because at the very same time they tell us, don't believe everything you see in the news or the internet. It's like, you're doing the same fucking thing.
Well, no, we're all around the same age. Do you remember when the internet like really first started, became a thing, was really starting to be in everybody's homes, and you'd go to do school reports and you were like, remember, like, you couldn't use the internet.
Yeah,
like, you had it, but you weren't allowed to use it because they're like, no, you have to go get the book. And it's like, I remember there was something like, you can't use Wikipedia. So it's like, okay, so I'm just going to use the sources from Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was a student teacher for a semester before I realized how much I fucking hated it.
Me too, twinsies.
Twinsies.
I go to a local school, and they had me do a little lesson on, you know, getting sources. And I straight up told the kids in the class, like, you can absolutely use Wikipedia as a starting place.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, exactly. And the teachers and the aide in the classroom did not like that I told them that. But I was I emphasized, like, you can use Wikipedia as a source. You can't cite that as your source, but you can say, I started searching on Wikipedia to find these different articles and sources to back up my point.
Sure. Mm.
I made sure that they understood that.
But yeah, you don't just use Wikipedia as a source.
Yeah.
One of the most telling things that was ever explained to me about, like, source citing was when I was in college, and I had this GA who was like, the problem with Wikipedia is not that it's like inherently inaccurate information. It's that the implicit biases and how that information is presented change constantly.
Yep.
So it's not so much the history that's the issue as the historiography, which is like the study of like how you perceive history over time. And it's like what makes Wikipedia as like a direct source, not the concrete information that you get from like the sources at the bottom, but like the actual articles, is that they change so frequently, and that then it becomes hard to gauge like implicit biases of the times or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Internet sucks.
Yes.
Stupid.
Oh man.
But even like the QAnon people are now. They'll tell you that like Wikipedia and Snopes are controlled by liberal pedophiles.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah.
I've heard that like from that you can't trust anything you read on Wikipedia. Yeah. You can't read anything that you read on Snopes. Yeah. No one like they're like none of the fact checking sites. They're all part of the conspiracy.
Can I
right?
ask a question real quick? How is a publicly like you're able to edit Wikipedia? The public is able to edit it,
but
right?
Are they?
And add.
But have you tried?
Ooh. You're right. Ooh. You're right, Jack. Ooh. I've never tried to edit Wikipedia because
so
I'm not...
So how do you know?
Because I'm not a loser.
Which is okay. I absolutely have edited Wikipedia on a few occasions.
So who's the real loser?
Yeah. That's... I was going to
bring up a funny example.
Yeah.
Like, where they had, like, Jeremy Renner, the actor's Wikipedia profile page, and they put down that he was, like, somebody edited it. So then he was a velociraptor. I saw a whole bunch of memes, and I went and checked it out. I was like, oh, okay.
Hell yeah.
It happened. Somebody edited it.
Yeah, I think this is really, I mean, I think we're around teenagers-ish when the internet, like, really took off.
Yeah.
But the Zoomers, this is the first generation, really, from the second they come out of the womb,
yeah.
have access to all information known to man right there at their fingertips.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, it's very hard to bullshit that.
Absolutely. Kind
of. Incredibly.
But it's funny, because to that point, it's like, this is where, like, the folly of liberals in our society really shows its ugly head. Not so much, like, how loony conservatives can get. We've always known that. But so much of what I think really kills liberals, and we have talked about the material basis for why they do this, but, like, they all have what I call Sorkin brain, where they think if they just appeal to you on a facts and logic level... You have to give them some credence. But now, like you said, they can just say Wikipedia and Snopes are fake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, they don't have to have any proof. They don't have to do... So, like, this idea that, like, you're gonna combat these people if you just appeal to logic and reason, especially when people like Ben Shapiro have basically made that their whole thing while they lied through their teeth.
Yeah.
Like, it's absurd that they still... So I guess that would be, like, kind of where I want to go, you know... We got, like, probably about 20 minutes here, but, like, I think a good place to go with it... what can people actually do to fight this, if anything? And, like, how in your opinion, are, like, the people in the mainstream who are fighting it, like, fucking it up? If anybody's got any takes on that.
Own the libs. I mean, that's a big thing that you see on this. It's that these people are... They think that they're both coming at it at the same angle, I think. Because I think the right thinks that they're doing the same thing. But they don't know how to back their shit up. And then I think in the first episode, too, we talked about how the libs are, like, in their own little echo chamber where they think that they assume everybody's doing their fact-checking.
Right.
But they're not. So then they think that everything that they say is correct when they just see somebody that they follow, share it, or a friend or something like that.
Correct.
They're not taking the time to actually fact-check their own people. But the... But they think that, oh, the right absolutely has to do this.
Right. And, like, I would like to add to, like, what you said, John, as in, like, here's how I think, like, you know, liberals are screwing it up is I think, you know, like, with all things, liberals love respectability and, like, you know, they're like, oh, well, we have to respect everyone's opinion. So, like, of course, like, they're respecting QAnon's, you know, opinion. And, like... Why should we? Like, it's fucking insanity. Why, you shouldn't like have to play into
real
it.
Real quick, is anybody fucking sweating bullets?
Yes.
Why is it so
I'm
hard?
Sweating
to,
my...
I apologize to all of you. You're gonna have to deal with the
abuse. Like, Ron, we got a war over here. We got a wet ass Ron.
Yeah. it's only like 80 degrees outside.
The humidity is through the roof.
Oh my god.
We're really
I'm dripping sweat from podcasting.
Like,
I'm not doing anything.
Until he stands up and says, "I'm like, wow, he is like listening."
I know.
You're sweating because you're getting black-pilled right now.
It's the toxins leaving your body.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Good job getting that magic juice from the internet. Right.
But I'm going to sell it as adrenochrome.
All these male vitality substances are making me sweat.
Thanks, Alex Jones.
Thanks, Alex Jones.
I got redder and more buff.
Oh, man. I'm glad, though, that you brought up Alex Jones, because I really feel like Alex Jones was, like, the precursor to all this crazy
stuff.
InfoWars was
the OG, man.
The original.
It really was.
You know?
And that should have been their first clue that, like, these people do not give a shit about the truth.
No.
How would you even... How are you even logging on and giving Alex Jones the time of day if you remotely give a shit about what's, like, true or factual?
A man who has been in court and has pretty much said, oh, well, it's just a character, you know?
Right. Yeah, so get his kids back.
Yeah.
That ruled. That was so good.
That was the best.
But, like, I think that, you know, that plays so much into, like, I think how those people get into that, where they're just, like, I think sometimes... The way they really get, like, so black-pilled into, like, being able to believe this crap is they know everybody in the media is lying to them, which on some level, again, you want to talk about getting so close to the truth and then just taking that hard turn. They know MSNBC's bullshit. They know Fox News on some level, even if it agrees with them a little bit more, is bullshit. They know that everything they are fed is corporate media run by billionaires that really is going to have some kind of a spin on it. So at that point, I kind of get where you'd maybe get kind of a, if you can't beat them, join them sort of attitude.
Mm. Well, yeah, like I said, it's a death cult. I think you just get beaten down and you're like, whatever, like, you know, might as well believe in this.
Right, which is why I think, you know, when capitalism is in crisis and fascism rises, that's when conspiracy theories get the most pervasive and the most scary and the most, like, actually capable of, like, causing violence.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, and it's important to point out that, like, the air of bourgeois respectability is all over society until suddenly one day it's not. Until suddenly one day there is a crystal night or a night of long knives where it all falls apart, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that conspiracy theories do is that they foment these revenge fantasies against the people who are the perpetrators of the conspiracy, right?
Mm.
And people want these evil pedophiles or these evil conspirators to be brought to justice, right? Similar to the way that back in the 1930s, people who believed the knife in the back conspiracy theory in Weimar Germany wanted the Jews held accountable for what they had perceivedly done to Germany.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have, but at the point in time where we are now, everybody's still going to work, right? Everybody's kind of still, like, going about their everyday business, and we're not talking about these things on street corners, right? There's no QAnon. I mean, they're out at the protests, and, like, you see a couple, like, weird signs and stuff.
Sure.
But nobody's sitting on a street corner, like, have you heard about QAnon? Have you
not
heard
yet.
The good
not
news?
Not yet.
Not yet. But, like, it's coming, and right now they are fomenting those revenge fantasies that one day they are going to act out on somebody.
Yeah.
Well, like, I would also like to add on to, like, you know, what you said, Jack. A lot of, like, dog whistle terms in, like, QAnon are, like, it's clearly, like, supposed to be for, you know, the Jews, right? Like, it's clearly all, like, dog whistles for, like, that. So I would not be surprised if there was some sort of what you're saying, like, boiling over point.
Right. And I mean, like, you talk about, like, if we talked about how many things have been the dress rehearsal for this, 9/11 conspiracies.
Sure.
And then I think a really significant one would be, like, Soros or Pizzagate or any of these things that have come out in the last 10 years, which, again, it's always, the dog whistle is always the anti-Semitic dog whistle, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same dance we were seeing with who was it, Goring? Was he the Minister of Propaganda? Mm-hmm. Or was it Himmler? I can't remember.
Goebbels.
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 Yeah, Goebbels. Thank you.
damn, dude, this is the most exciting.
That's
the
why
most
you exciting have.
I was gonna say, you have. I didn't. I never stepped foot into college. You have
a what? Degree?
Yeah, in history.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know.
I literally the only time I've ever stepped foot into college was to like visit you.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. That was really nice of you. Yeah, man. Like, it's just it's interesting how like all of those things have had those elements and just how they've evolved. And how, I mean, literally, like, one-to-one, when people talk about globalists, they're talking about Jews.
The Jews, yeah.
Yeah, but again, like, you talk about getting so close to the point, and then, like, but like, yes, I can understand where people would have a bone to pick with global capitalism. It has made a lot of parts of the world very poor. It has made us much poorer.
Yeah.
It has created a massive network of exploitation that has harmed people, all of us on some level. So having a disillusionment and anger with, like, globalization as it's been applied through capitalism is understandable. The problem comes when you can't question, again, you can't question capitalism, so those problems have to be the result of some bad faith actor and not inherent to how the system works.
Right, and it's like what I always say, like, the common, like, worker has more in common with minorities than right. they'll ever have in common with Donald Trump. So, like, I would just like to say that, like, you know, like, the real enemy here is capitalism, not, you know,
not Jews or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's always the thing, it's like, it's rich people.
Yes.
Are some of them Jewish? Probably. Sure. I don't imagine it's most of them, considering Jews make up, what, like 2% of the world's population, if that? Mm-hmm. Most of them are. And that's what's amazing. This globalist cabal in its, like, actual material form is people of every race and ethnicity and national background and gender and whatever, you know? Because it's not actually ever drawn on ethnic lines. It's drawn along lines of capital, because that's what our society is. That's the entire foundation of our society, right? Yeah.
Well, and I think that, like, this reminds me of, there was a movie that came out, like 04, 05. It was called Zeitgeist, right? Has anybody seen that?
I haven't seen it.
It was one of those movies that you had to, like, torrent, right?
Yeah.
It was, like, not released on any, like, legitimate platform.
Are you saying you pirated?
But, oh, no. Yes, of course not.
That would be illegal.
That's illegal.
That would be illegal.
By the way, you should steal this podcast if you can.
Yes, please do. But, like, it...
The People Podcast.
It put forward this whole conspiracy theory about the Federal Reserve, right? And about how the Federal Reserve was actually like a right turn away from what would have been a proper or a market-based, mm-hmm. like a resource-based economy or something. Like, the point where it went wrong was in 1912 or whatever it was when the Federal Reserve was created.
Sure.
And I watched this movie, and initially I was like, whoa, that's pretty mind-blowing. Like, they've got a lot of, like, evidence in here. And as I went and checked on all these different, like, quotes and things, I realized that this whole narrative was literally just anti-Semitic conspiracy theories from Nazi Germany.
Mm.
Yep. The quotes and everything with, like, American founders being, like, the quotes being attributed to, like, Thomas Jefferson.
Fucking yikes!
And, like, George Washington and shit.
That's
right?
Old, man. That's, like, Dinesh D'Souza levels.
Yeah,
of
yeah. And, yeah. And it really, like,
back up
pulled
on the Jefferson
that
point a second. Because Jefferson was a terrible fucking
was actually
person.
Evil, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, super evil. Evil, dude.
Yeah, he definitely would have been, like, on Epstein's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he was
yeah,
alive
the
today.
Shit he
yeah.
did to Sally Hemings, woof.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's, like, so funny is, like,
we have released the Mayflower logs. Many of the founding fathers.
Miles Standish. Yeah.
But it's, like, the Federal Reserve in particular, like, the conspiracy theory around that, which, again, has anti-Semitic roots because the Jews were quote-unquote bankers, right?
Yeah.
And whenever you're talking about the bankers or the people who own the Federal Reserve, it's code for the Jews,
yeah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, which
but
is hilarious because,
like,
it's absolutely, like, not majority Jewish people, I'm
it
sure.
Sets, it sets up, well, and if you dig into QAnon, they'll tell you, isn't it a weird coincidence that all these people are Jewish, right?
Are they? I mean, there's a million other people that they forget to mention.
There's a
right.
lot of that
a bunch
in
of waspy motherfuckers.
Too.
They
right.
just never... Or, like, you know, as Saudi oil barons or whatever.
Isn't it
you know?
Strange that all the people I've chosen to point out to you are Jewish?
Right. I definitely didn't pick them because of that.
Mm,
yeah.
Really
but it's
dinks
like,
your dink.
The Federal Reserve was actually capitalism dealing with what Marx called the tendency of the rate of profit to fall. And right. creating the fiat currency through the Federal Reserve and the central banking system was necessary to keep capitalism from imploding on itself.
Yeah.
Because it was very close to the point of doing that.
Sure.
The creation of fiat currency and from the, by extension, stock exchanges and things like that, the kind of financial wizardry that we associate with modern capitalism had its roots there. And the capitalists that formed the Federal Reserve realized that they needed to do so in order to keep the system going.
Right.
So the Federal Reserve is a feature of the system. It is not a bug.
Right.
But these anti-Semitic conspiracy theories paint big banks as bugs, as corrupting features of what is otherwise right. a good system.
Right.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean that's inherently it, right? You can't I mean that we've said it a million times this episode and it bears repeating a million more times. The entire basis of conspiracy theories is I can't question the inherent goodness of this system that I've been told is so good my whole life, so it has to be a bad faith actor. It has to be. And I think that that's a really good place to bring it back around to QAnon, because when, I think it was it the FBI that released the thing about QAnon, the informational, and they kind
what, with
of...
like the 8chan stuff?
Yeah, well, there was that, yeah, from the Clinton campaign, yeah, that was a thing. But then, like, when they first, like, kind of released their thing about QAnon, they kind of had to admit that maybe part of the reason people believe conspiracy theories is because sometimes the government does things from those conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
But of course, even then, they have to say, these were bad faith people from within those organizations acting in you know, acting as rogues. But again, even if that's true, then they just get protected. And let's say a few assholes from the CIA were the ones who killed Fred Hampton in the 60s. Like, okay, maybe that's true. Maybe it wasn't the act. Maybe J. Edgar Hoover didn't push a button. But he certainly didn't come out and go, oops.
Yeah.
Also, going back to, like, JFK and, like, my actual feelings on it. I don't think his head actually just exploded. I would like to say that I think J. Edgar Hoover probably...
Do you think he murked him?
Maybe. I don't think he liked a Catholic. Like, you know, he was like hella like against like Catholics and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think he liked that.
Thing. That's the thing with like any Hoover era conspiracy theory is like as absurd as it is, I wouldn't put it past that
now,
asshole.
He was
to
insane.
It.
Like absolutely insane. I wouldn't put anything past
him. Past that douchebag. Yeah, so I think this would be a good time for, I don't know, is there anything, I think we've covered this well. Is there anything going on in the media or whatever, guesses as far as like spec? I think it's time for speculation corner is what I'm trying to say for us to close out here. Shit, man. What's been going on? Are there any predictions on anything? I guess we could check in with the election if we really want to.
Shit still sucks.
Yeah, it still sucks. I'm actually starting to come around to the Jack view a little bit on the 2020 election. I just based on the polls I've seen, I think Trump's probably going to win Ohio and Florida again. And if that happens, the Dems are going to have to win Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And they lost all three of those last time, so I don't know about all that.
Can I just say, good fucking job, Democrats, turning Wisconsin, the most like historically blue state, into a swing state.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Minnesota got way closer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh wait, maybe it's Minnesota.
Both
I'm thinking
of them.
Of. Yeah,
oh,
all of
them.
That whole
Michigan
area.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it!
Jesus Christ! This guy that we were all gaslit into believing was going to be the safe option has become the riskiest option.
Yeah,
I think they could have pushed Mayor Pete across the line, or the Club, or any of them. So. I don't know. So what do you think, Liz? Do you think Trump's going to win again?
Yeah. At this point, I mean, like, this whole, like, election is just, like, two geriatrics fighting over the last tapioca at, like, the pudding bar. It's just terrible.
And then you have Nurse Kamala there.
Yeah, Nurse Ratchet from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah, like, it's terrible, and I hate it, and I guess Trump will probably win, I guess he'll win.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, John, where are you at?
Same boat as you guys. I mean, I've definitely grown more cynical and thinking that, Biden just doesn't stand a chance, thanks, Jack.
thanks for dunking on all of us early on when we were like, I don't know.
So I actually wanted to find a place to bring this up, and I think that's a good point.
Sure.
I posted something on Facebook about how there's this Twitter post going around talking about how, like, you have to come from a real place of privilege to be able to think you don't have to vote for Biden if you're anybody on the left or center or whatever. And it's just like, no, because, like, one, I can vote for whoever the hell I want, and that, I mean, yeah, I understand as somebody who has a lot less to lose as a someone who is a white male,
right,
identified heterosexual, like,
yeah,
obviously I have less to lose.
Yeah, less material to lose. Sure.
But if I legitimately think that it's going to be a shit show either way, no matter who wins, wouldn't I want to vote
right
for a different group? Because I mean, you have, like, the Green Party that's teaming up with different socialist parties.
Right.
Like
they're that. Building a broader coalition.
So that my cousins, who are just, like, the biggest libs ever, commented on that, and they're just saying, basically, they're just, like, regurgitating what the thing that I just criticized said.
Right.
I mean, like, oh, okay, wow, so you think, I mean, you're right. Just exercising your privilege by not doing that, and it's just like...
Yes. There is a fascinating point to be made there when you actually look at who does and doesn't vote. Those kind of arguments talk about, like, something that is exhibit fucking A of your, like, white privilege and, like, class privilege. They know that their audience, when they're yelling at people, is people like us. People who, like, were ostensibly middle class, white, whatever. Because they think that we are the only people who could ever show up to vote. Because if they tried to engage with the working class or black people or whatever, who, by the way, are the people who, for the most part, don't vote, they would realize that that whole argument is ridiculous, A. And B, they would actually have to engage with the fact that, like, yeah, we are the people who know nothing would fundamentally change because we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really interesting point as well. Jack, where are you at? Is he gonna take it by a mile or two?
I mean, I stick by what I said before. If I was going to make a prediction at all, I would say that there's going to be more political violence over the next 2 months than
we've ever seen
in our lives. I think that it's already started. And Exhibit A is the Kenosha shooting.
Yeah,
right?
We'll probably end up doing a whole episode on Kyle Rittenhouse at some point here, especially as his trial starts and stuff. Mm-hmm.
But what really got me was the fact that the guy... So Kyle Rittenhouse carried out the shootings in Kenosha, and then 2 days later there was a member of Patriot Prayer that was gunned down in Portland, and it was kind of viewed as being potentially like a retribution type thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and Portland has been a battleground between anti-fascists and fascist groups for a long time.
Yeah.
Much longer than the Kenosha thing, but... The task force was four cops that were sent to track down the guy who killed the member of Patriot Prayer. And he was walking out of a store with, like, an ice cream cone in his hand or something and his shirt off and no weapon on him. And they put 50 rounds in that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was and Trump literally just said, like, yesterday that it was retribution.
Yeah.
That, like, the state was carrying out extrajudicial retribution on this person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
and
the
I
president
think
of
that...
the fucking United States will say that. Like, man, the mask's been off, but it is off now.
Yeah.
Truly off.
Like,
absolutely.
I think that the price of political violence for anti-fascists is always going to be much higher than it is for fascists, because fascists get detained and they get a fair trial, quote unquote. And for the most part, they do get locked up because the system will sell you out the minute that you stop being useful to it.
Yeah. Right.
But anti-fascists get gunned down in the streets. And I think that that is something that we have to grapple with as this election heats up, because it is just going to get worse from here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ron, do you have any closing thoughts on where you think the whole thing's headed?
Look, when we talk about educating people and talking to them, blah, 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 yes, that's important. That's a given, and you should do that. But here's, the more I live and the older I get, here's what I realize. You talk to people, you can give them all the information, and all these people, every step of the way, have rejected information at every single step. We have tried to educate them. We've done our best. At what point do you draw the line? I mean, I'm seriously, again, I'm at the point, I know I joke about it a lot, but, like, if some fucking, like, Trumper gets on my mentions on Twitter, I literally just say, I'm going to fuck your wife. I mean, that's literally, like, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to sweat you. I'm not going to give you the time of day. It's just, yeah, I think it gets to a point where there are certain people who are past saving. And that sounds sad, but again, we've tried educating them over and over and over and over again. They reject it every time.
And they would literally rather believe that Barron Trump is a time-traveling crime fighter than believe what you have to say.
Yeah, that police might be bad. Yeah. Maybe.
It's, and that's really it, you know? Listen, that is it. I've decided, just for the sake of being an annoying contrarian, that's going to be the one part of Q I never challenge.
Oh, yeah,
Donald Trump. Barron Trump is just the doctor from
Doctor. No, they're wrong about everything, but that's real.
He's the fucking doctor.
He's
about
to, like, climb up into this room right now and get us down.
That's a personal kid.
That's a personal kid.
He's Grunkle Stan's fucking brother from Gravity Falls. Ford. Ford.
I fucking love that show.
Oh, God. It's
that would be another fun episode to do, Gravity Falls.
Oh, shit.
That's one you can watch with your kids, probably, Jack. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that one's that's probably one of my favorite shows of all time. And once again, we are honored to be named Ohio's number one Gravity Falls podcast. It was coming. Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate that. With that, I think this episode is pretty much in the books. I want to thank Liz for coming on. It was super fun.
It was really great to be on.
It was super, super fun. And as always, on my honor, I will do my best to smash capitalism. See you next time.